So we see that in, oh, my audio is going crazy here. We see that in Exodus 19, Jehovah reminds us that the Israelites, when the time was right, he brought them out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand. Like the power, the speed, and the ease of an eagle in flight. In Exodus 19, 4 through 6, as the Israelites arrived at Mount Sinai, Jehovah reminded them, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians." And how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So remember how Isaiah 40, verse 31, says they shall mount up with eagle's wings, with wings as eagles. Now, I want to look at the Hebrew here for that word, mount up. And it's, Brother John brought this out earlier, I'm going to go into it a little bit further. It does, as he pointed out, mean to ascend. And this illustrates how Jehovah not only gives wings as eagles to make the journey easier, but also it illustrates how we are to ride high above the world, close to him. Look a few words earlier in verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. In the context of Isaiah 40, Isaiah is assuring Israel that God desires that they trust in Him as to the time and the manner of their deliverance from their captivity in Babylon, that they should wait upon His deliverance of Babylon, from Babylon, and trust that the Lord would, in fact, prepare the conditions that would be most beneficial for Him, for them. The words in Isaiah 40, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. These words have a special significance in the Hebrew language. Wait in the Hebrew, kavah, they call it, Q-A-V-A-H, means gathered together and figuratively implies waiting patiently, enduring trials, trusting in the Lord with expectation. Waiting, as we then learn, is more than just waiting for time to pass, but for the light to break the darkness. Waiting on the Lord for His particular solution to come. As a point for consideration then, the Septuagint renders this passage, they shall put forth fresh feathers like eagles. And Brother John brought out that point of how they molt and gain fresh feathers. The Chaldee renders it, they who trust in the Lord shall be gathered from the captivity and shall increase their strength and renew their youth as a germ which grows up upon wings of eagles shall they run and not be fatigued. Again, it's that theme of trusting and waiting as found in Psalms 130, 5 and 6. I wait on the Lord, it says, more than those which watch for the morning. Okay, so this implies, again, waiting expectantly. Expectantly for something as sure as we expect the sun to rise. Waiting expectantly on something that will reliably come. The same Hebrew word, kavah, from our text is found in Genesis 49:18, where Jacob, on his deathbed, is giving the last admonitions to his sons, and his prediction as to what would befall each of them. And so he says, I have waited, kavah, for thy salvation, O Lord. So Jacob here, like many of the faithful before him, and, of course, after him, could see the salvation of the Lord at hand, so to speak, through the precious promises of Jehovah. Wait, Psalms 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Yes, courage, fortitude, persistency in the service of the Lord. These are all very necessary components of character in each child of God.
Thank you.
In a general application, the words in Isaiah 40, as well as in Revelation 12, apply in a general way to all those who have waited for deliverance and salvation from the time that promise was given to Abraham. Jehovah's promise given to Abraham certainly gave wind under his wings, a sense I would call it of well-being and in the Lord's care. It was kind of like an assurance of Jehovah's care. And I want to make it clear that just hoping for something that is good or something good will come, just hoping it with no promise or no assurance of it happening, will soon be discouraging. I hope I'm going to be rich, be the president, and so forth. Fat chance. If there's no promise, there is no expectancy, no assurance of anything to come. And this is why it's so important for us to see the encouraging evidences that the Lord gave, evidences of its fulfillment, and see that we are in the stream of time, or see where we're actually at, is what I mean to say, in the stream of time. When Jesus was born, the faithful, remember, of Israel, were still waiting. They were still waiting for the Messiah. They were still waiting for deliverance by the promised Messiah. Luke 2, 25 through 31. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, they took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen the salvation which thou hast prepared for all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. So this was an expression of that definition of waiting, patiently enduring trials, trusting in the Lord with full expectation of the promise. The disciples of Jesus also experienced and waited for that full expectation of the promise. Acts 1, 4, and 5 tells us this. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye shall have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So as with those of the early church, applying it to ourselves, we too wait in faith and hope. Romans 8:25. We hope for something we have not seen, and we patiently wait for it.
Jesus,
again, we hope for something we have not seen, and we patiently wait for it, Romans 8:25. Another beautiful picture, similar to that of mounting up with wings as eagles, is in Revelation 12, verse 14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Isaiah 40, of course, was literal Babylon. And now Revelation 12 is mystic Babylon, from which spiritual Israelites would flee and patiently wait deliverance.
the scriptures themselves became restricted in the dead languages, particularly of Latin, which was only available to the scholarly, to the clergy in those middle centuries. So the true Christian was dependent upon those that could read and translate and interpret.
Revelation 12:6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her, and there 1,260 days. So what would sustain the woman, the true church, in the wilderness condition of persecution in those dark ages? Well, the pastor says in reprint 307, this is probably the wings are equating to the Old and New Testaments. Using the Bible as their guide and not church dogma, the true church in the wilderness gained higher principles than that of the worldly church. Our brethren in the time of the Reformation of the 1500s continued to wait patiently, enduring trials and trusting in the Lord with full expectation of the promise.
Only through the Reformation, and then particularly through the public media that opened up in the 1800s, did this opportunity open to transcend the dead languages. Now the scriptures were available in almost any common language. It gave the Christian the opportunity to read for themselves. It also raised questions in their own congregations, in the organized church, and the pastors and teachers there who were still repeating the dogmas of the Middle Ages found a congregation that was more enlightened, full of more questions. And if they couldn't get their questions answered in the organized church, they went elsewhere to find these answers. But primarily, the Bible, having been hid largely in a few languages that was not available to the many, was now suddenly open to all. And this provided a grand opportunity to explore the true Christian basis and relationships.
Shed his own blood.
But our vision, as you see depicted in the pictures here, very much like what's going on right now in Israel, our vision of the future and confidence in Jehovah's promise can be obscured by worries, trials, and the commotion of the world. So we need to continually renew our faith, renew our expectation for that which we cannot see. The unrelenting pressures of things like job, health, family, and so forth might overwhelm us if it were not for being able to have the vision of the final outcome of all things and the faith that all of our trials have the intent of crystallizing our character. We rely on the phrase, "His compassions fail not." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 15 through 17. "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But through our outward man, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." So the bottom line for us, this waiting, this trusting will result in what is best for our highest spiritual welfare. We are especially blessed in this end of the age with the understanding of prophecy given to us by our Lord through that wise and faithful servant. And so this meet in due season will give us renewed strength to mount up with wings as eagles. Now, coming to the understanding of the manner and timing of the Lord's second presence really was the key item that bolstered the faith of the brethren in the pastor's day and filled their wings with fresh zeal. Brother Albert Hudson wrote that the Second Advent, so clearly anticipated for centuries, had now become a reality. And there was small wonder at the zeal and energy which the Bible students set about proclaiming the message. Good tidings of great joy, they insisted, and so it was.
Brother Russell appeared on the platform at the Abbot Hall and at other places in London, and it was crammed. And outside, there were thousands of people struggling to get in. We ended up between teenagers, of which I was one at the time, to hold the doors shut against the crowds. There were glass doors, and there we were, half a dozen at each of the four doors, holding the doors shut, and outside the people were struggling to get in. I could still see their faces, pushing and shoving, you know, anything to get in the hall and hear the lecture. Oh, it was tremendous, yes, tremendous enthusiasm.
That remind us of now, people are just right at the door, shoving to get in. Too far here.
Christ is come. Christ is come.
of that, let no harp remain unstrung. That's for all of us. Well, additional encouragements came from the pastor's insight about the regathering of Israel into her homeland. So past the pastor's time, we now get renewed encouragements. And from volume 3, prophecies point to the year 1878 as the date at which Israel's double time of waiting for the king was fulfilled, and from which their return to favor and the turning away of their blindness were due to date. The time, as it says in Isaiah 41 and 2, after which it would be due to speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her appointed time is accomplished and her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the hand double for all her sins. And from that date onward, therefore, we see, as we should expect, marked indications of returning favor to that people, a movement toward their actual planting again in their own land, and their rebuilding as a great nation. And so, as Psalms 102, verse 13 states, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Doesn't seeing the fulfillment about what the pastor predicted about Israel, isn't that an encouragement to you? Doesn't it lift up you, lift you up in the same way as on wings of an eagle? Looking back over the years at these prophetic fulfillments, we're looking at the Second Presence, 1914, the nation of Israel, and the events of our day, I hope will give us a renewed encouragement to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. Sitting is not running or walking. Strong faith only comes with exercise or conditioning. That word weary in the Hebrew really literally means breathless. And we are assured in Hebrews 12:1 that this will not be the case if we lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us. Our faith is not simple credulity, which is the readiness to believe just about anything. But it is based on a diligent study of the Word of God and confirmation of the vision set before us. Therefore, brethren, let us run with a focus based on this vision.
And He will raise you up on eagle's wings. There And you.